Blog Talk Radio.
Howdy, race fans. How the hell are you? It's Steve Big Sweat Billmeyer here, and I'll be ramrodding this cattle drive we call Racing with Big Sweat, where we focus solely on the local short track racer, that guy you know that works a 9-to-5 job and then works a couple of hours each evening on his car in his shop just so he can race on Saturday night. And not for fame and glory, just for the fun of it, just because it's what he likes to do. And that's the type of people we're going to talk with. And we got a good group we're going to talk with tonight. We're going to feature the big street stock extravaganza at Why Not Motorsports Park. They had a big show, and I mean a really big show, this past weekend, and we're going to talk about it. While I got a minute, let me introduce you to my gang is here with me, helping me out. My producer, my friend, the man about town, Mr. CJ Sports. CJ, you in here?
Yeah, I'm here tonight. How you guys doing tonight?
Oh, we're great. Just glad to be here. How about you?
Not too bad, not too bad. Glad to be here. Had a great week. Had an opportunity last night to sit down with Tyler Young from the Camping World Series and Erica Enders, two-time NHR Pro Stock Champion. So had a blast last night. So looking forward to sitting down and listening to all these great guests to, joining us tonight and learning a little something.
We also got here my co-host, my partner in crime, the man that's going to put this show together tonight and done a real good job, Mr. Chris Yellow Caution Flag Creighton. You there, Flag?
I don't see him yet. The man put all this together and is not showing up to his own party. There he is. Hold on.
Got to press one.
You didn't press one.
Yeah, I didn't press one. Hey, guys, how y'all doing tonight?
Good. Glad to hear you.
Man, it gets me every time. It gets me every time. I've got two live feeds going. One's on NASCAR and other racing, and then we've got one on Dirt Track Talk. Hopefully you guys can hear us loud and clear. We've got a special show for us tonight. We're doing some things that we've never done before, and of course, we're doing some things that we always do. Me, Jason, and Steve are back together again, a good old gang here, and we have us a great show. Like you said, Steve, we cover short tracks all over the nation. And tonight, we're going to cover a very special race, that came about 4 years ago. It was actually a rescheduled race. It was originally supposed to happen in Moulton, Alabama. And unfortunately, something happened up there, and it got put over at Why Not Motorsports Park, and it has been an event that's grown every single year. Last year was 95 cars. This year it was 85. But let me tell you, the show was not at any disadvantage being 10 cars short. We're talking about 85 of the best street stock drivers around the nation. And they all come down to do battle at Why Not Motorsports Park, the big red clay oval track. It's known for speed. They call it the House of Hook. And, fellas, tonight we're going to find out why they call it the House of Hook. We've got some good drivers on. Michael Blade, he'll be on in the middle of the hour. He'll give us about 10 minutes there. He's going to tell us about his victory. And then we've got Ben Kid Smooth Keith. They call him Kid Smooth, and I tell you the reason why, because the kid is smooth, okay? I mean, there's just no other explanation. He's a bona fide true rookie stock car driver. Had never gotten any experience in any other stock car. He did race in go-karts, so to be able to come in his first full season and make the 30-car field of 85 street stocks is a heck of a feat, and he'll be on to tell us at the first hour here in just a minute to inform us how good it felt to make the show. And I talked to his father earlier in the day, and he said, we were committed. We come to that race to win. And I tell you what, Ben Kid Smooth Keith definitely made a name for himself after this past weekend. At the bottom of the hour, we got Chad Comer. And Chad, if it had been a 30-lapper, Chad would be at home right now with a big check. But it was a 50-lapper, so we'll get we will get Chad on at the bottom of the hour. And, guys, if y'all listening, however you're listening, we're going to open the lines up at 9:10. It's normally what we would call what the producer learned. But this time we want to know what you guys felt like was the best moment of the Street Stock Nationals, whether it be this year or the year before or any time like that. Maybe it's the special parade lap that goes on at the Street Stock Nationals where we get to see all those cars. If you watched it this year, boy, I tell you what, they had a little mishap in the end of it. Steve, did you catch that? The parade lap turned into a slide job, and I don't mean cutting the drivers off. They were at the top of the track, some of them, and the track was still a little bit wet for some moisture that had happened. And when a couple of the cars started slowing down, well, you only know what can happen from there. The car, it reminded me similar of the All-Star event when they started the race and all of them wrecked in the first lap.
But, yeah, I've had nights like that before myself. I like the nickname of that place, the House of Hook.
The House of Hook.
Kind of reminds me of, I had one of my friends tell me one time that I was so ugly I couldn't get laid in a house of hookers with a pocket full of bananas. But that was back in the day. I'm really interested to talk to all these people, hear what's going on since I didn't get to see that race, but I've heard a lot about it. There's one thing I want to touch on briefly before we get started. I saw a post today in the news that Bobby Hamilton is getting sued by a driver that he promised a ride to and took the guy's money and didn't produce the ride and wouldn't give him his money back. And reading the article, I saw where Bobby Hamilton was associated with Roger Carter of Carter II Motorsports. I'm sure you've heard of them and probably seen his mugshot. In my opinion, Roger Carter's the biggest thief in NASCAR racing today. So I don't know what judgment Hamilton used to get hooked up with this guy, but he did. And now he's embroiled in a couple of different lawsuits involving the same thing, taking people's money and not producing a car to race in. Another of the drivers that's suing him for money spent on nothing is a young driver named Cassie Gannis. And Cassie will be a guest on our show a week from tonight, the 1st of September. And she's going to talk about what went on and what's going on and everything. And I think if you're a young driver or any driver, really, you really ought to watch this show and listen to what Cassie has to say, because not everybody that comes up and offers you a sponsored ride and everything is on the up and up. It's becoming commonplace to get your money taken by people that are scheming more to get your money than they are to get you on the racetrack in a quality ride. So you people ought to listen. This will be well worth it. I'm listening to. That's next Thursday night, 9 o'clock, on Racing with Big Sweat with Cassie Gannis.
That's going to be a really...
I want to jump in here one second. First of all, you guys got your first guest in the studio, so I want to let you guys know that. And definitely looking forward to that. We've had Cassie on the show. As a matter of fact, we have helped sponsor Cassie once before, about a year or two ago, as she was making her way up. So definitely looking forward to having Cassie on the show.
Definitely. And I've known Cassie for a few years. I followed her on Twitter back in her early day. And, you know, a good driver who definitely found herself in a bad situation, Jason and Steve. And you know, you've got to make sure all your dots, what do they say, cross your T's and dot your I's. And make sure if you're signing contracts for people, you really look at the fine print. Because in this day and age, you know, in any exchange of money, you should always have a lawyer present. And especially when you're getting up into that form of racing. I've heard of it happening in all forms of racing, and it's unfortunate. It'll be really cool to have Cassie on and give some awareness to these types of things that happen. Good job on pulling that one out, Steve.
Yeah, you definitely need to have your eyes open when somebody's offering you something, and in the back of your mind you should be asking yourself, is this too good to be true, or is this just some bullshit from somebody else? But we're going to talk about that with Cassie, and we're going to, I know I will, and I'm sure you will if you listen, we'll learn quite a few things you didn't know about the business side of racing and how treacherous it can be. And without further ado, since our next guest is in the studio with us, Chris, tell us who it is and give us an introduction.
I was showing my Talk Nerdy shirt. Talk Nerdy to me. I'm kind of the techno guy. So tonight we've got Ben Keith, Kosciuszko, Mississippi driver, sophomore, 16 years old, should be out taking girls out on a Friday night, and instead he's taking his girl out on Friday and Saturday night, and that's a race car. Ben's dad is John Keith, and I've known John for quite a while, and we did one of the first interviews with Ben when he announced that he was going to go from go-karts into racing, and I tell you, we just feel kind of connected to this family, and it's really a good deal to have him on, and our first interview of the night. Kid Smooth, talk to me.
What's
up? Man, how about it? We on air, man. There's a bunch of people listening. You feel all right? Ben, tell us about your transition from go-karts into stock car racing real quick, and tell us about your the limited experience, and we'll start with that.
Well, I was go-kart racing for about a season, and we just decided to get out of it, get a car. Built one, went out there, had six races, getting laps in, running top 20 and stuff. Well, this year we got us a new car, a bunch of sponsors, and I started getting better laps, more seat time. Gotten pretty competitive, a bunch of top 10s, top 5s, top 3s.
Yeah, a heat win too, don't you? Ain't you got a heat win?
Several heat wins.
That's right. Now, Ben, what got you involved in the racing? What kind of What alarms went off in your head when you realized you wanted to be a driver?
Well, my pep-aw race back in the day, my dad, he always helped them and all that, and we got out of it for a little while. Got a car back in 2012, and my uncle drove for a little while. And then I started racing go-karts, and then we got us another car, and I wanted to race.
And it was kind of hooked after that, wasn't it?
I've been in the car since I was 2 months old.
Yeah. Damn.
Hey, that's the way these Mississippi boys do it, Steve. And there's a reason why there's a lot of hot young talent coming out of the beds of Mississippi right now. You know, back in my day, we learned how to drive a tractor at 8, 9 years old. These boys are learning how to ride go-karts and ATVs and you know, I don't know how many of them are actually still learning how to drive a tractor, but I don't know. Would you rather drive a race car or a tractor, Steve?
That was the first thing that popped in my mind when he said that was, damn, everybody I know was learning to drive a tractor at 2 years old. I mean, that was what you did. You run them tobacco rows up and down all day in the summer.
That's
and,
right.
Now everybody's racing, and I'm glad to see it, really. I'm not anti-tobacco. I'm just pro-racing. I'm glad to see all these guys getting started young.
That's right. Now, Ben, you've had some up and downs. Tell us about your rookie season and what were the expectations coming into this year?
Well, we knew I'd be pretty good, but I've excelled pretty quick.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've had some fast times. You've gotten some heat wins. Tell us how close you were to winning this past Friday night at the Street Stock Nationals.
I led half a race, about half a straightaway, and a couple of laps to go, kind of got loose on me and started falling back, finished fourth.
Tires just kind of wore out on you?
Yes, sir.
That happens. I tell you what, and let me explain here this idea on Friday night. Friday night was a special night for racing. I don't know, Steve, if you've ever been at a racetrack where they raced four feature street stock races. They raced four feature races by based off of qualifying, and where they qualified, they raced in the groups that they qualified in. Basically, hold on just a second.
Four cars.
There we go.
While you're fighting technical difficulties, I just want to remark, I was looking at Kid Smooth's Facebook page, and he's got a meme on here that says, win, lose, wreck, them bitches know I was there. And that's what a race that's what a race
that's right.
is all about.
That's exactly right. And, Steve, these aren't your ordinary street stock cars either. When I go back and say this is the best of the best, these guys are running a lot of aftermarket parts now. The cars are metric built. These are top quality $30,000 cars, most of them are, and especially the ones that are running up front. There are still some $5,000 and $10,000 street stocks out there, but I don't want to get too much into this, but I think it a lot compared to the super streets from back in the past. But, you know, that's all technicality. What we want people to understand is these are some really fast cars. A lot of money's gone into this. And that's why it was over a $40,000 payout this past weekend at the Southern Street Stock Nationals at Wynot, Mississippi. The House of Hook was
on
fire.
On asphalt, when you mention a street stock, it's usually a steel body street car that's had some safety improvements added to it, and these are more full-blown built from scratch race cars, aren't they?
Yes, sir, definitely. The shop builders are busy right now building cars for next year. The street stock class has really changed developed, evolved over the last few years. There are still beginner classes around here, but the street stock class is definitely not a beginner's class, and that's what's so special about Ben here. Ben's got a few sponsors and all, but, you know, a lot of it is back pocket racing, and for him to have minimal street stock experience, stock car experience, he's jumped in the flame, and don't get me wrong, there's a lot of good drivers out there, but, I mean, it's almost, you know, I think you remember Spencer Hughes being on, and I mean, he's kind of overshadowed Ben to the most part. But I tell you what, Ben's made people realize he is Kid Smooth, and he's there, and he's going to be one to reckon with. Now, Ben, tell us about when you realized that the tires were falling off. What was the game plan then on Friday night?
Don't spin out.
Don't spin out. A lot of pressure there, wasn't it?
So, good finish. Try to get good in the heat.
That's right. Now, tell us about making the big race Saturday night, Ben. Your dad said, look, we were in it to win it. I'd love to hear that. Tell us about the game plan, the strategy y'all rolled into on Saturday.
Went to win the C main, won it, started 10th in the feature, fell back on that three wide start on the. Just let everybody
three wide
level out.
Three wide start. 30 cars, three wide start. It took 26 cool. laps to bring out the first caution.
Damn.
Good job, guys. Ben, I think we got everybody silenced by that three wide start. So you go back to that. You said the start was it? How was that three wide start? Tell us about it, and then tell us the reason why you kind of fell back there for a minute.
Well, everybody was kind of excited, wanted to try to win on the first lap.
Uh-huh.
So I just kind of stayed back and let everybody level out and get enough room between everybody. Finally got up to the top because the bottom was kind of rough a little bit. So I got up to the top and started passing people. And that caution come out. And we got all jumbled back up. And then the big one happened about 4 laps after that.
Cautions breed cautions, and is no different in dirt track racing. 26 laps. The race was a 50-lapper. 26 laps, caution-free. Tell us about that long race there, the 26 laps, and when you finally started catching some steam and passing cars.
I just started breathing, just passing them. It was fun racing 3 and 4 wide with my buddies.
Awesome. Tell us about your buddies in racing. You've made a lot of friends.
Yeah, me and Spencer, friends. I didn't get to race with him. He's all the way up there. But me and Terry, Taylor, Rob Slott, Kevin Willington, Kevin Mitchell, Justin McCree, we all raced 3 and 4 wide for a couple laps.
And what happened there in the end? You wound up in an incident, and let's move on to that. What happened there?
Coming off turn two cars kind of got sideways in front of me, and I didn't have nowhere to go. And then collected us, knocked the radiator out. Every couple cars behind me run into it, nowhere to go.
Steve, a brand new body on it, fresh wrap. I mean, she was pretty. After that kind of weekend of racing, Steve, you're lucky to take anything home. And I'm not meaning that by wrecks. I'm talking about it that much racing. I mean, you had C mains, you had features the night before. You're racing about 5 feature races in this event when you come to the race to Southern Street Stock Nationals. Now, I don't know how it is in asphalt, but that's 5 feature races on just a few sets of tires and one motor. That's if nothing goes wrong. And we're talking about stock car racing here, Steve.
Generally, when on asphalt, when you have that many cars like that, you run time. We don't run B mains and things like that. We run qualify and take the top 20 and divide the rest of them up into hooligan races, heat races. Top 3 go on to the feature, the rest go home. And that's a pretty exciting part of the night, really. That's the best feeling in the world, is to be able to walk across the track and sit in the grandstands and watch the hooligan races and not have to be part of it.
At least you know hooligans for sure out here. This is, like we said, some of the best of the best, and Ben has had a great year. He's 21st in Neesmith Street Stock National points right now. That's a national point scale. What they do is they give 50 points to a full field to first place, and they start knocking them off after that. 700 is a perfect season, and for a new driver like Ben, kids move to come up into the ranks and sitting there in 21st. It definitely shows the accomplishments that this young man has made in such an early beginning into stock car racing. Ben, we're kind of running out of time here. We got to get to Michael Blade and then Chad Comer at the bottom of the hour. But Ben, we want to give you a chance, sir, to to kind of get your sponsors out there and tell us about your best moment of this past Southern Street Stock Nationals and something that you'll really never forget.
Just three wide racing with it, my buddies and all. It was exciting, dominating in the C main, having all my buddies at the track in the pits, hanging out and stuff before the races. It was just an exciting weekend.
No doubt. Now, make sure you get those sponsors out there and thank those who have made it possible.
High Roller Race Cars, Michael Millis at State Farm, Chris Harris, Big Daddy Approved, Glenn Ainsworth, Landscape Designs by Glenn, Jesse Barnett, Amory Powder Coating. Here's some of my buddies right here. Andrew and Jason and Ethan Bulware. Best at Dirt Defender. Austin Rhino, AK Motorsports, just my teammates. Billy Wilhite at Wilhite 72 Racing. And Brooks and Adams Strength with Roofing and Siding with Strength.
It's smooth. You mentioned quite a few times about racing your buddies. How is it racing your buddies? What's your mindset? Are you more confident racing these guys because you know them and you know how they drive? Does it motivate you more that you want to beat somebody that you're buddies with instead of somebody you don't know? Like I said, what's your mindset when you come up on one of your buddies and you're going to try to pass him?
I want to win, buddy or not.
There you go. Hey, when the helmet's on, there ain't no friends, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
That a boy.
All right. Well, go ahead, Steve.
I was just going to tell him, take a minute while we got some time and tell everybody how they can follow you on social media. I definitely want to keep up with you from what I've heard and seen about you here lately.
Ben Kid Smooth Keith on Facebook, _KidSmooth14 _ on Instagram. That's all I got.
And what about the Facebook page, AK Motorsports? Is that one?
Yes, sir, AK Motorsports.
Okay. Good deal. I'm glad to have you on. And, Ben, we're going to be keeping track of you. And what's the plans for next year? Are you going to stay in street stocks or are you going to move up to late model?
I'll stay in street stocks.
Stay in street stocks.
I heard Daddy back there saying that. y'all have a great... That's right. Yes, sir. Now, we should have Michael Blade already in the studio. Jason will be taking care of that. Such a great, talented kid there, Steve. The Keiths have been in racing a long time. They're dedicated to the sport and just really good people there. John is his own personality, and I've learned to love him over the years, and definitely glad to see that young man wheeling that car the way he is. He's definitely turned a lot of heads this year.
Definitely somebody you want to keep your eye on if you're a dirt track fan. Sounds like this young man's going places, so tag along with him. He's got a bright future.
That's right. Well, we should have Michael Blade on. Is he ready?
Yeah, your next guest is in the studio.
Awesome. We're running a few minutes behind. We're going to have to speed things up just a little bit, race fans. But we got the winner of the 4th annual Southern Street Stock Nationals on right now, Michael Blade from, I'm going to let him pronounce it, Tennessee. He's come down here quite a few times, raced with these boys. He's got him a feature win already down here last season. Michael, glad to have you on.
Hello.
Hey, Mr. Michael, how you doing?
Fine, how are you?
Man, great to have you on, sir. I was just filling everybody in. about your winning the Southern Street Stock Nationals, the fourth annual. Michael, tell us about coming down to Mississippi and racing with these street stock boys. And I done kind of filled the air up tonight, telling people that these are some of the best street stocks around. Now, you're a driver. You've competed against these guys. It's not your first win. Tell us about the competition.
Competition's real rough there. They're real, real good set of drivers there. We didn't have no idea we'd win this race. When we left the house Thursday, we was just hoping to make the race. I come last year and didn't even make it. But we raced our way in, we made it, and put on a good show.
Walk us through the weekend. You were down here for Thursday, right? You went to practice?
We come to practice Thursday, went out for a practice session, was pretty good. Then we had water pump issues. Then get all that fixed. Then Friday, we qualified pretty decent and made some changes to the car. Then we started 13th to come to second in the feature.
And that was on Friday night. And tell us about making that brought you in the show for Saturday night. Tell us about Saturday night and what the game plan was, and where did you find yourself near the front or knocking for the lead, really?
I really, really don't know. We started out good, and I was just keeping the pace up, trying to save the car. And Comer, he done checked out. If he hadn't have broke, I don't think we could have called him. I had lap 20, I don't know, about 28 or so, I was pretty confident we had a second-place car. Then Comer fell out, then we was in the lead there. Then they kept having cautions and made me a little nervous, but we finally pulled it off.
Tell us about the lap where you took the lead, and then for the rest of the race, what did it feel like? I mean, was there things going wrong with the car? Could you feel the tires wearing off? You guys aren't allowed to run rearview mirrors, but were you peeking?
A lot of stuff goes through your mind when you're in the lead. You can feel the car making racket, and the tires sliding, and you're just trying to hit your marks and not spin out.
This race is a little bit different. They start 30 cars.
I swear I think he hit the mute button again.
Hello? Hello?
He didn't hit the mute button this time. He hung up.
Hello? Hello?
Who we got?
Hello? We got our guest, and we got you in here. Chris hung up. He dropped his call anyway. Waiting for him to call back in.
He said he wanted to talk to you guys.
The telephone is too much technology for Chris.
He's one of them backwoods rednecks. He's used to a string and a tin can.
You back in there, Chris?
Now, I am back in here. For some reason, the phone just decided to shut the call off. I normally call from a house phone, but since we were doing the live feed, we wanted to make sure that friends and family of these guys had every option in the world to listen to their family members or the fans to be able to tune in. And a lot of times we get complaints that the link didn't work, and sometimes it's not really our fault. It's data coverage or some people don't have enough data. So we were doing everything possible tonight to make sure that this show was out there. And I finally got proof that my phone can just shut off because we're running a live feed, and I asked a question, and all of a sudden I was like, hello, hello? So, Michael, I'm sorry about that. I think what I was saying was when you're dealing with the lap traffic, what was going through your head?
Hoping they'll hold their line. I mean, you're nervous. You don't know whether to go to the top, the bottom, and it's just all happens so quick. You just got to pick a line and go.
That's
when
something
you're in
that's always kind of fascinated me about dirt track racing. Y'all don't use radios or mirrors. You're pretty much the driver's on his own. How does that work for you? How do you keep your senses alert, and how do you keep up with where other cars are on the track?
Well, in the driver's meeting, they usually try to explain pretty good about if you get in a lap,
for cars to hold their line. So if you see what line they're running in, then you got a pretty good idea whether to go the low or high to get around them.
I didn't know that. So they go over and, this mostly at the driver's meeting, huh?
Right, right.
Now that's interesting. See, I learn something new every week, Chris.
There you go, Steve. And they throw out the courtesy flag, and we don't see that very much on TV, but it's a blue and red X flag. And our flagman will lean over the tower there, and he'll let the car going a lap down know that that the leader is closing in on him. So it's actually a full communication. Now, that happens a lot, but sometimes guys are caught snoozing in driver's meetings, and, well, there's sometimes situations that are the flagman's on the other side of the speedway there. So there are situations that happen. But you're right, Steve. It is amazing without rearview mirrors and communication how well these drivers get through the field. And I guess that's probably what gives them a little bit more of advantage when they go asphalt racing.
Well, Chris, I got a question, and
this is kind of interesting to me. We don't have a courtesy flag in asphalt racing. We have a black flag with a skull and crossbones on it, the kick-ass flag. It means the guy behind you is fixing to punch you if you don't get out of the way.
That's the move over bumper, huh?
Yeah.
Your chrome
not
horn.
Fault racing.
That's right. Now, Jason, I heard you that back there. I think you had a question, didn't you, Jason?
Yeah, to kind of stem off of what Steve asked. Now he kind of answered when it came to the lap cars. But then that has me curious, when it doesn't involve lap cars, when you're just running through traffic, or if somebody that's having a better night is coming up on you, then how do you guys communicate that? How do you guys know who's around you if there's no spotter, for say, because there's no radio communication and there's no rear view mirrors? How do you guys perfect that whole part of the racing then?
A lot of times if you're faster than the car in front of you, you can kind of nudge them a little bit and let them know you're there, or vice versa.
I can tell you, if you get the certain finger out the window, you did something wrong. I can promise you
very
that.
Wrong. Very wrong.
Okay, Michael, tell us about being in Victory Lane. How long did it sink in before you realized that you won the biggest street stock race ever?
Hey, it took a little bit. I mean, I was all excited. Wore plum out from driving, and everybody was running up congratulating me. It's really a big thing, and I'm really overwhelmed by it.
Tell us about the interview. Were you prepared for that acceptance speech? I mean, you have to gather your thoughts so quick.
Yeah, I had to gather everything real quick. No, I was nowhere near prepared for that. We were just lucky that we made the show, and I was hoping for a top two or three car, but I never dreamed I'd win it.
I tell you, that's where a lot of times we hear the drivers say, I don't even remember the interview, because you're just that stoked by the time you get out of the car.
Right,
a lot
right.
of times the guys want to go back, and they don't even know what they've said, because it's just so amazing. This race is really, Steve, it's one of those races where when you win it, you feel like you won Daytona of the big racing.
I don't think I could be any happier winning the Daytona.
You heard it right there, Steve. That's the love of dirt track racing. Did my phone go off again?
Hello.
I'm here. I don't know where
okay.
Steve is, but I'm here. Michael, tell us about some of the sponsors and stuff that helped you get where you are.
Man, I want to thank my sponsors. I got a new one just come on board, Lazy Hog Barbecue, and my Columbia Radiator. They take care of me on everything. All Time Towing, J&M Transportation, and, of course, High Roller Race Cars. If it wasn't for Justin, I wouldn't be where I'm at today.
Where did you eat at after you won the Southern Street Stock Nationals?
I was so tore up, I didn't eat meat.
I love it. Where did you eat at on the way home back to Tennessee?
Do what now?
On the way back home to Tennessee, what was that, McDonald's, Taco Bell?
I don't even think we stopped anywhere. We just come on back.
My boy got to get to the bank.
That's it.
I love it. Michael, congratulations on being the fourth annual Southern Street Stock Nationals winner. You're only the third person to win this race. You beat a whole lot of competition. Did you make some friends?
Hello.
Tell us.
I met a lot of great people this weekend, a lot of great drivers. I talked to quite a few of them.
Mm-hmm.
I want to thank all my crew. My crew chief, Kenny Morgan, he helps me a whole lot with the car and does a lot to it. I want to thank my kids, Austin, Logan, and Faith. And I want to thank my girlfriend, Michelle. She puts up with a lot.
All racing girlfriends do.
A lot of late nights in the shop.
That's right.
Yep.
That's right. Well, Michael, once again, congratulations on your win. When are you going to come back down for the state championships?
We're talking about coming. We're going to Jackson in a couple weeks, then MAG, then we're talking about coming to the state.
Awesome. One more question. I like to ask this one. Where did the number 10 come from, Michael?
My little brother played ball, and he picked that number out. I started racing in, I think it was 94, and he was playing ball, and that was his ball number, and that's what he wanted to put on the car.
Been that way ever since.
Been that way ever since.
Awesome.
Oh,
Michael,
hope
to have you on. Oh, go ahead, Steve.
I just want to know how old he is now.
My brother?
No, you, Michael.
Me? I'm 41.
Damn. It's surprising talking to somebody that's not a teenager. I'm glad to hear it.
How did I know he was going to say that? Well, I told John earlier, I said, we've had so many young kids on from around the nation that, you know, we had another one on tonight, Ben, you know, a really talented driver.
He's really good. He showed a lot of progress.
And so to have somebody on around the ages of us, it's actually pretty cool. And Steve had to get that question in. Steve, you got anything else for Michael before we let him go?
I appreciate that comment about being the same age as us. I've got Levi that are older than Michael.
I can't throw my crew chief under the bus. You know that, Steve.
Absolutely. And there'll be a little something extra in your stocking at Christmas for that.
No doubt. All right, Michael, thank you for coming on with us. And like I said, we'd like to hear from you again. And we hope to see you for the state championship race and again for the Fall Classic.
All righty. I thank y'all for having me.
Thank you, Mr. Michael.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Hey,
Steve?
Chris?
Yes, sir?
I got one comment, and we do got the other guests in the studio. I did like Shorty's answer to why he had car number 10 better. She said because he couldn't fit 110 on the car, so he went with just 10.
There you go. It's been all about that 110 today, buddy. How about that cash out that you got? What did it say, 110?
Yes, 110. The cash report was 110. It's all been about 110 today.
110 Nation Sports. Look it up. Like it on Facebook. Tell your friends about it. Mr. CJ Sports, we call him Jason. He's all the time on the air. He's an independent news broadcaster. And we appreciate 110 Nation and Mr. CJ Sports for allotting us this time, along with our sponsor, Snafu Seasoning. But definitely needed to squeeze that in there. 110 Nation. Go to the website, 110nationsports.com. And now, guys, we've had the two feel-good stories. And, you know, we want to keep this thing moving in the right direction. We want a feel-good story. Chad actually got him a win on Friday night and then had a great race going on Saturday night. Started second car on a three-row starting fields. He started in the middle row. Mr. Chad Comer from Warren, Texas, y'all, welcome him on.
How y'all doing?
Glad to have you, Chad. Tell us about the weekend here and tell us about all the fun you had.
Well, y'all want to know the good or the bad?
Well, we're going to go with the good. the way that your weekend went, I mean, we can't find the bad until we were 20 laps to go. So we're going to start with all the good. You come down here Thursday. This is your first time at Why Not Motorsports Park, right? The House of Hook.
No, I was there last year for the Street Stock Nationals with my other car.
Okay, this is a prototype car, right?
Yeah, this is a new car me and Keith Wright designed and trying to build and help him sell some race cars, and really good fabricator, and just trying to get the car on the right line and get some of his Street Stock cars out there.
Now, you come down on Thursday, you practice. And when did you know you had a fast hot rod?
Pretty much right out of the box. The car was pretty good from the get-go. We had a little fuel issues Thursday night at practice with the fuel pump and regulator. And after we got it lined out finally for, the fourth practice round, the car finally run the way we needed it to. As far as handling, the car was pretty good. So we knew we'd have a pretty good car if we had a little luck on our side.
When you got a good
Friday
car,
night.
Like, and you know you're good early in practice, do you sandbag to not let everybody know that you're really got that good of a car, or do you keep pressing the envelope and trying to find more speed?
It's hard to sandbag when you race against guys like that over there. You got to dig and keep hunting and trying to find as much speed as you can all the time.
So you let them know early that you're the man to beat then.
I was just hoping we was going in the right direction.
Now you had to race for that dash. Tell me about the peel draw. The top eight got locked in to the feature race on Friday. That means every first and second finisher of their feature was automatically locked in. Am I right about that, Chad?
Yeah, you got that right. So
and then they took the eight fast.
Go ahead.
Yeah, the eight fastest was put into a dash race.
Right, yep.
On a peel draw. Tell me what you pulled.
The first four feature winners, which was four, drew a 1 through 4, and I drew a 4, I believe. Yeah, I started second row outside, and then the second place finishers drew after us another, I think 4 through 8. Or 5
okay,
through
so
eight.
you're starting on the second row outside. Tell us about the move to. These are the top eight guys now. I'll reiterate on that. Tell us about that dash race and when you knew the car was going to be fast.
The car was pretty good. I mean, right off the bat out of the dash. And, I mean, we had really good cars in there with us we were racing against. And we got the lead on, I believe it was the last lap of the dash, and run off into turn one. And me and Trey got together just a little bit. You know, it was just a racing deal. Track was a little rough. He got into my left rear, cut my left rear tire down, and we run it for another lap on a left rear flat. And Spencer got by to end up taking the win, but just was lucky to be able to hold on to the second place finish in that dash.
Unfortunately, that wasn't where the tire problems ended. Tell us about starting on the middle row of a three-wide start on the front row and the push to the lead right there at the beginning of the race.
it was a good feeling just to be able to start on the front row, getting to go over there and race with some of the best in the country. And to be able to start up front with people like Spencer and Mark Haddon and all the Randy Lovell that was behind me, another one of my Texas buddies. I mean, it was just a real good feeling, and to be able to get the jump and lead the first 26 laps was, you know, it like Michael said, it's like winning the Daytona 500, you know.
That's right. Now, the first 26 laps. Did you ever imagine going 26 laps without a caution to start that race?
I didn't see where it'd be a problem. I mean, I knew we was in there with a lot of really good cars, a lot of really good drivers. You know, last year I think I don't remember exactly how many laps we run without a caution from the beginning of the feature. I want to say it was around 12 or 15, but when you're in there with
12.
That many good drivers and that many good cars, it usually ain't a problem.
So when the cautions started coming out, did you feel a little bit of pressure?
I did. I didn't know where anybody was behind me. I mean, I figured they had to be pretty close to me, and I looked at my crew guy up there, and he showed me I had a little distance on him, but it's always different when they get right back on you on a caution and hoping you could keep that distance going.
Did the flat tire happen under the caution? Did you feel when you ran over something? It did start with the flat, right?
Yeah. No, we had that last caution, I believe, on lap 30 or 31, and took off and run into 3 and 4. The car was good, and when I went down into 1 and 2, I noticed something was a little wrong, and we made it through 3 and 4, and then back into 1 and 2 again. I knew it was a right rear flat at the time, and I just tried to get up high and out of the way down that back straightaway, hoping nobody would run over me.
Looking for a caution and wound up being the caution.
Right. It's part of it.
I think you slapping the steering wheel there. It had to have been heartbreaking. A lot of expectation going into the weekend. The hot rod was exactly where you wanted her. A fast car, a great weekend. Were you counting the money a little bit too early?
No, I wouldn't say I was counting the money. I was just counting on a good finish. And, you know, I mean, hell, I was happy just to get in the feature like all the other guys. And then to be right running up front with some of the best guys out there, I mean, you know, it was a little overwhelming. And then to get took out of the race because of a flat, it just sucked.
Tell me about when that car took the side out. Was that just a racing incident, or do you feel like you could have been up the track a little bit more? Tell me about that. And that was kind of where you realized your night was over.
Yeah. No, we were all the way against the wall, as close as I could get to the wall down the back straightaway. And I watched the video that my girlfriend had filmed, and he had nowhere to go. The guy under him, coming off the corner, just kind of got into him and pushed him into me. I mean, it's hard to tell that a car's slowed down on a lap like that when you're running the speeds we are. So it was a racing deal, and I was just stuck in the worst situation.
But now you got a little bit of lap money, and you led 30 laps of that. Tell me about how that felt when you got a little bit more than you were expecting at the payout window.
Yeah, that helped a little bit, but I mean, I'd have traded all that money in for that trophy.
Oh, man. Steve, take it from here. You know about you. You can better relate on this one, Steve. Go ahead, crew chief.
I understand all that, but that trophy don't buy groceries at the grocery store. you got to enjoy the money. That's the big thing about it. The trophies look nice, and they're a great memory and everything. And they're proof that you've accomplished something, but being a former car owner, just give me that big cardboard check and y'all can keep the trophies and stuff.
Well, I didn't get the check or the trophies.
Well, that just motivates you to come back that much stronger next year, doesn't it?
No doubt. We'll definitely be back to come try our luck again. Hopefully next year we'll have a little better luck on our side.
I think you earned a name for yourself, Chad, and that's the main reason why I wanted you on tonight, because if you didn't know who Chad Comer was going into the weekend, you knew by Saturday night who was going to win that race if it would have just stayed green. It's hard to say with 20 laps to go. Most of the time our feature races are only 20 laps, so this is kind of like two features and a dash all up in one, or heat race. And it's the feature event. So you did a great job, and I think you earned a lot of fans. I you could hear the breath in the stadium, in the racetrack, be sucked out when everything went wrong for you. And that just showed the impact that the fans were involved that much into that race. It was really cool. Steve, go ahead.
I was just wondering, Chad, what's your background in racing? How did you get started?
I started back in 98, my senior year in high school. My grandpa built my first race car, and he wanted to do something to kind of keep me out of trouble and keep me off the street. So we built a race car, and ever since then, I've raced every year, everything from a bomber car to a super late model and modified and back to a street stock. And I've had more fun running my street stocks than I have any other car out there. It seems like the drivers are better. The drivers are easier to get along with and actually cleaner. Yeah, I love the street stock class. That's just been my all-time favorite so far.
How old are you now?
I'm 36.
Yeehaw, another senior citizen.
Hey, wait a minute now, Steve. I'll be 36 in November.
Well, I'm glad for you. I can remember when I was 36, but I don't want to.
those seniors can teach me something. So, Michael, he was in it for all 50 laps, and he was a little older than me, so maybe next time I got to learn something from that fella.
Definitely. Well, I do believe y'all are the first racers, Michael is, to come down and take it from the home team. Does this kind of build up a rivalry, or does it just make it that much more? I guess for your question, it should be, how hungry are you to come back and do it again?
No, I'm definitely ready. I want to be back, hopefully for the Fall Classic or whatever that race is coming up at Magnolia, and go over there and try it again, see if maybe we can have a little better luck.
That's the Cotton Picking 100. It'll be the last Mississippi
okay.
Street Stock Series race on the season. It's actually 2 weeks before the Fall Classic in October, guys. If you've not been up to Columbus, Mississippi, Magnolia Motor Speedway, it's a great track to go up to. And Dr. Dirt, Johnny Stokes runs that track up there. Always, it's a state-of-the-art facility. When you come to Why Not, it's completely different racing than Magnolia. Why Not's a high bank track. Magnolia is a big size track, but it's kind of like they call it the black ice. But it's not really a red clay or anything like that. It's dirt, and it adds great racing, and it gives Mississippi the full effect of all kinds of different racetracks. You got Hattiesburg, which is a smaller speedway. You got Why Not, which is high bank and really fast. You got Jackson and Magnolia that are flat tracks, and then you got the Gumbo up there in Greenville, Mississippi. So if you want to find out what real dirt track racing is, you come down here to Mississippi. Tell us about that, Chad. Tell us, compared to at home, how stout is the field?
Oh, it's bar none. I mean, you go over there, and there's dang sure some of the fastest cars in the country that you're running with, especially, I mean, them 30 cars that made that show, them 30 cars were in that show for a reason. It's because every one of them's fast and there's a good driver behind the wheel. We race with a lot of good drivers at 171 Speedway at Leesville, Louisiana, and there's about five or six of them guys over there that I wish would have come with me, because they're just as fast, if not faster than I am, on a weekly basis. So, but yeah, competition is definitely tough over there.
Glad to have you on, Chad. Tell us a little bit more about your racing experience and the home track that you race at, and then make sure you thank your sponsors and stuff. Steve, what do you got?
We normally race at 171 Speedway in Leesville, Louisiana, the quarter mile dirt semi-bank black track. Usually gets good and slick, so Why Not was a little different than what we're used to. There was a little more moisture there. But, yeah, it was a good time. I had a good time over there, for sure.
And he said he's going to bring some buddies with him next time, too. I hope so.
Yeah, if I can talk them into it, I think after they've seen how well we did over there, they believe they can come over there and give us a run. So I'd like to see all of them get over there with us next time.
What was your favorite part of the weekend, Chad?
It'd probably have to be just getting to be able to start on the front row, you know, next to the leading Neesmith points champion, Spencer Hughes, and just getting to start on the front of that race with my buddy Randy right behind me from Texas, and, you know, knowing that our cars are there and in the hunt and ready to make a showing.
9 states were represented for the street stock event. Do you expect there to be more next year?
I do. If this Neesmith deal keeps growing like it is, you know, I look for there to be more tracks over here in Texas open up to a Neesmith rules we're working on, and hopefully maybe into Oklahoma. So we'll see next year. We'll definitely be back.
Tell us about those who've helped you get where you are and your sponsors and family.
Yeah, I tell you what, I couldn't do it without Keith Wright in this new R&D car we got with Wright Racing Chassis. BC Quick Lube helps me out a lot with all my oil changes, everything for the car. R&L Truck and Equipment, they help me out with a lot of stuff, a lot of parts. Day Motorsports. Bodies by Darren. He helped me out build the body on that car because I ain't no sheet metal man. He definitely did a jam-up job on it. Showtime Signs by John O. Whittington for the good wrap and awesome graphic work he hooks us up with. Mr. Butch Duell for all the motor tuning, everything he helps us do on our motor. And all my friends, family, my girlfriend Brandy Baldwin for all the help she does. My nephew, Corey Jr., he's probably my number one fan and pit crew. Some of my fans from Leesville, Louisiana, that drove all the way over there to watch this race, Miss Lelaine and her husband, and just all the support and sponsors we got. We appreciate it.
Yep, that's right. Chad Comer from Warren, Texas. Guys, just a great racer. It was a great weekend. We got to meet a lot of new people. History was made. Memories were made. It's the dirt track life, and it's just a great experience to have you and Michael come on, along with Ben Kid Smooth Keith, and y'all keep coming back and making these memories every year. Rodney Wing don't mind, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, we appreciate it. It was an awesome event.
All right. Steve, you got anything to close with? Jason?
I just wanted to tell Chad, thank you very much for coming on, and sorry to hear about your bad luck, but you're a racer. You know there's another race the next week, so you just got to keep moving on. Let us know how we can follow you on social media so we can keep up with what you're doing.
Just Chad Comer on my Facebook page. That's really about all I got. So I don't have no website or nothing like that, nothing fancy, just my name, and we just race week to week like everybody else, just trying to keep digging.
Well, you're the type of driver we like to profile on our show, Racing with Big Sweat. We're all about the local short track drivers, and you're definitely typical of one of those, and thanks again for coming on.
All right, I appreciate y'all having me.
All right, Chad, good to talk to you, man.
All right, y'all take care.
Steve, do you know more about the Southern Street Stock Nationals now than what you did coming into it?
Absolutely, absolutely. I've definitely learned some stuff tonight, and it's got me thinking. You mentioned one of the tracks is being like black ice, and one track being clay, and one track being gumbo and everything. It makes me think I need to get somebody on here that preps a dirt track that can really go into some detail about how the track's prepped and kept up and what type of surface it is and things like that. So I'm going to look into that, and that sounds like a future show.
Well, they call him Dr. Dirt, So if you can find Dr. Dirt, Johnny Stokes, and get him on the show, Steve, that'll be a treat for us all. He's one of the best in business now. We got one over there at Wyandotte, too. His name's Bill Moffitt, and he knows how to throw a track down. And then we've got Alan McElmore and Donald Parker down at Hattiesburg. They've got a good little recipe down there for that track as well. I definitely need to come up with a show with that one, Steve. I'd like to hear about the special sauce, too, what it takes to make these tracks what they are.
Yeah, I'm sure they're not going to give up any secrets, but they'll clue us in on what's involved with prepping a track and getting a good racetrack ready for a Saturday night show. I think if we can get a track prep guy like Dr. Dirt on and a promoter that can talk to us about that end of the deal, that'd be a real good show. It'd be very informative.
Definitely. Jason, what'd you learn?
I tell you what, I'm still stuck on the fact that they have no spotter, no mirror, no nothing, and just trying to. It's even more difficult than even trying to imagine it in NASCAR because there's no sliding, it's concrete, and being out there in the dirt and really just kind of being blind and knowing that the wrecking is at a minimum and there's really nobody helping them, it really fascinates me. I'm just trying to visualize what it's got to be like to be out there whipping that car around in the corner and, you know, just your racing instinct letting you know where that other car is at and do what they do with the speeds they do just really fascinates me.
Well, one of the expressions, Jason, that I hear a lot in dirt track racing is quit racing over your hood. Quit racing over your hood. Now, that means quit looking over that hood. You need to be looking ahead. And so that just tells you what these guys are looking at. They're not even racing what's in front of them. They're racing a half a track ahead.
That's just...
Yeah, it seems like to me the hot ticket, and I don't know because I've never raced on dirt, but it seems like that when you're sideways in the corner, you can kind of look out of the corner of your eye and see what's going on behind you, but that's about the only chance you got to see what's going on behind you until something comes right up on you trying to pass you.
Yeah, I think, Steve, that's where you get passed. If you take your attention off of that rabbit, it's like that shot that we've seen from the Olympics, the guy watching Michael Phelps beat him. If you take that moment to look at your competition, you're going to watch them pass you. That's how stout this competition is, guys.
That's pretty impressive.
We're going to open up the lines. I know it's probably not 9:10 yet, but if y'all want to call into the studio here, 718-664-9861. Press 1 to talk to the host. We'll take your phone calls. If you got any questions about the Southern Street Stock Nationals or you just want to call in and tell us your favorite memory of the race, feel free to do that. We'll take phone calls till the 11 o'clock hour Eastern time, but I don't know if we'll have that many calls in. Sure enough, the lines are open. Got anybody biting on that call there? 718-664-9861. Call us and talk to us about the Southern Street Stock Nationals. We'll give you a minute on the air.
A golden opportunity for your chance to talk with Big Sweat. So call us up. 718-664-9861.
Just press 1.
Or you can
Jason,
do like me and Chris
anybody?
Do it. Zero.
That's right. Well, guys, I've got to get y'all down here for some of this racing. We're going to have to come up. We may have to set up a GoFundMe account or something to get you guys down here. Help sponsor the radio show. I was expecting a few more listeners tonight. I don't know how the live feed turned out. I know that we're already off on the NASCAR and other racing live feed. That device has officially died. I don't like sitting here like, you know, looking at that camera all crazy and stuff for an hour and a half. But it was definitely something that I felt was a necessity, being that this was such an important race, and I wanted people who didn't have the chance to get on the link, or I wanted to make it accessible as possible, even if it meant looking at my ugly self for an hour and a half. So, guys, I'm sorry. I put on a mask, but I think that would probably look even more silly. I'm just trying to stay back here a little bit. And you can read my shirt. Talk nerdy to me. So, yes, sir?
You got a caller.
Ivy Don Brown. Who we got?
That's John Keith.
Nah, John.
Yeah,
how
I figured
doing?
I'd call, talk to you a little bit.
That's cool.
I'll be daddy.
John. Talk nerdy to me, John.
No, I just wanted to tell you I appreciate you getting Ben on there and talking to him tonight.
It's my pleasure. Like I said before we brought him on.
Started. Yeah.
Yeah.
You've been kind of there since he got started in it and kind of pushing him there on the social media and all, and we appreciate it.
Well, you know, you come to me a couple of years ago and you told me what you were planning on doing. I think I come to you about some RC cars. Y'all were playing in that for the time, and you kind of told me what the deal was, and you gave me a heads notice that Ben was going to start racing. I think that was in 2014, and we did the interview. 2014, I think it was toward the end of the year there.
End of the year. You know, we had trouble getting the car together, so it wound up being the end of last year before he got started. So,
He's been turning heads ever since, John, and you put a lot of time into him. And tell us about, you know, real quick about being, you know, being dad, and how do you are you kind of rough on him at times, or is it a lot of praising, or is it just is it y'all playing the buddy?
I have to get on him about school every now and then. You know, you got to take care of that before you can worry about the racing. If it gets to slack off, I have to get a little bit.
The communication while he's in the car, though, is that good?
Oh, yeah. We don't have no problems at the racetrack. He's pretty level-headed. If he has trouble, you've seen, he doesn't act crazy or nothing like that. So we don't have no problems on that end. Pretty proud of that, too, that he stays so level-headed.
I've been screaming all year, the kid's going to show you why they call him Kid Smooth, and he's definitely done that.
Yeah, he's racing with a lot of good guys and has learned a lot from them, so pretty proud of that, too. Everybody's raced him pretty clean, and a lot of veteran drivers talk to him after the races and kind of give him pointers and all, so that's been good, too. Justin McCree's been real good with him. Him and Ronald Dunn and Brooke Strength, they all push him pretty hard and tell him what he needs to be doing. So that kind of backing helps you out at getting better also.
Definitely. When you trust the ones you're with, you get a lot more out of you. I found a buddy of mine told me a long time ago, you get in where you fit in, and you surround yourself by those people. And they're confidence builders for Ben, and that's what we want to see. We want to see confidence being built into these young men, and it's awesome to see, you know, Justin and Brooks, some of the older crowd, take Ben in and really give him, help build him up as a racer. They're going to be racing him for a while. It's just going to be kind of funny when he's beating them every weekend.
Yeah, I don't think any of them are mine.
That's right. That's the torch that's passed. John, thanks for calling in the show. And
let me ask you, John, before we get going. Is Kid Smooth, is he a first-generation driver from your family, or did you race, or do you come from a racing family?
My dad and my papa raced. I attempted to race. I wouldn't ever say I was that great at it. I just never had the attitude that Ben has. I mean, he doesn't worry about who he's racing with as far as his nerves and all. I didn't have the nerve for it. I mean, I was decent, but never on that level.
I understand that. And
I've always been better at the work and crew chief side of it.
That was me. I always felt like there was 1,000 people in the stands saying I could drive that race car as good as him.
That's it.
But
that's
nobody
exactly
was saying I could set that race car up so he could win. So that's where I wanted to go. Speaking of family, is Mama involved in this racing?
Not a whole lot. She's gone to a couple of races. I don't think her nerves will let her handle it.
Understand that.
Yeah. She supports it, but she doesn't show up a whole lot. Like I said, I don't know that she could handle it. I'm glad she hadn't been there with some of the stuff that's happened. That other night was pretty wild.
Yeah, it was.
Well,
it was definitely one. If Mama hadn't come to too many of them, that probably wasn't the one for Mama to come to, huh, John?
That's right. The start of Saturday night would have been all right. She didn't have no worries then. He kind of left there in that C main, but that feature got kind of hairy there at lap 30.
Yeah. Cautions breed cautions, for sure. John, thanks for calling in, and we're glad to have Ben on. We're going to keep our eye on him. Well, now I've got Steve and Jason keeping their eye on him, so we're gonna get Kid Smooth name out there nationwide. And you heard it first right here on Racing with Big Sweat. If you didn't know who Kid Smooth is, be watching for him. He'll be in that Speedway Illustrated articles pretty soon and all the other good books that you order. I can almost guarantee that one. John, thanks for calling in, man.
I appreciate it, Chris. Thanks, Steve.
Yes, sir.
Talk to y'all.
All right, good night. Talking to you, John.
718-664-9861. Press 1. 718-664-9861. Press 1. Tell us your favorite moment about the Southern Street Stock Nationals. I want to give a shout-out to my old co-host, Damian Bean. Good to see you. Appreciate it. He said it sounds good. Glad to see you in the Dirt Track Talk group. I know you have a thing with groups, and so glad to have you on the group. Damien, you'll laugh at that one. Steve will laugh at that one, too. So we'll go ahead and just both call it. All of us laugh at that one, won't we?
Oh, yeah. My side's hurting from laughing so hard.
I love you guys. Damien, thanks for listening. Joe Clark, thank you for joining. Jonathan Carl Jackson, call into the studio here and tell us about how good that race was. Margaret Spielman, thank you for listening. Johnny Brady, Ronald Dunn, get a few more. There's Kelvin Hyatt, he may be over there in Saudi Arabia, so we are worldwide. Kenny Carroll joined the show tonight. Adam Ellison, he was there. Nick Lambert, Glendale Shoemate, Adam Whippy. Celeste Richardson, Jason Mara, TJ Hughes was in the house tonight listening in.
All right.
And Damien returned the laugh. He said he is LMAO. He's been MIA for a while, too. So glad to have you, Damien, listening to the show tonight. Hopefully, we got everybody laughing here. Steve, we're always popping off these good shows. Now's the chance to call in and tell us how good it is. It's 718-664-9861. Steve, we got anybody calling in?
I haven't seen anybody yet, but while I've got a moment, a little personal business, my son, senior airman David Billmeyer, has been stationed in Okinawa, Japan for over 3 years, and he's coming back to the States Sunday. He's going to be stationed at Dice Air Force Base in Abilene, Texas. And I don't have to tell you, Texas is a hell of a lot closer than Japan. So I haven't seen my boy in a couple of years, and I'm really looking forward to seeing him. David, I know you're listening if you're up. It's, you're up. You're at work. It's 11 o'clock in Japan, 11 a.m. So I know you're listening. I'm glad you're coming home, son. I love you. I'm very proud of you for serving your country, and I can't wait to see you.
That's awesome. It is. Jason, tell us a little bit about 110 and what got you here and what's been the driving force behind the 110 Nation Sports.
Driving force has been the great staff that we got and all the great fans we have. I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. You guys, check us out on Facebook. We're running a little contest. If we hit 1,000 likes before the end of this month, we're going to give out a $50 gift card. And it was a task that I thought was going to be pretty hard because we had been sitting at about 875 for about, I don't know, 5-6 months. We've kind of sat still for a while, and we've had a couple of new members come on board to write for us, and they've really helped the last 3 or 4 days recruit where we're about 5 short of the 1,000 mark. So we're going to have about 125 likes just this week alone come in. So I want to welcome everybody that is new to the 110 Nation. Make sure you guys check out the 110 Nation Sports Show every Monday through Wednesday at 8 p.m. We got a lot of great guests that come on. We had an opportunity to have Tyler Young from the Camping World Truck Series and Erica Enders from the NHR Pro, the Pro Stock Series on last night. Had a blast with them. We get a lot of great guests. We got a bunch of great guests lined up coming up next week, and looks like we're going to probably land Ken Schrader at some point. He's running that ARCA Series race with a team that we have a really good connection with, and so it's looking real good for us to make that happen, which is a really big deal for me because I have a lot of respect for Ken Schrader, and he's a real cool guy, so I'm looking forward to doing that. But you guys, make sure you guys just check us out, and also check out our blog site, www.the110nationsports.com. Got a lot of great content over there, a lot of things that we get out on that site, so make sure you guys check that out as well.
Hey, Jason, quick review. Steve, quick review. Steve, let's name off some of these people that we've interviewed. I want to start with Jimmy Owens, Bobby Pierce, and Robbie Allison. You name three, Steve.
T.J. Hughes, fantastic guest. Damn, now my mind's drawing a blank.
Heather Newhouse,
Brooke Storr was a great guest. Brooke's a very interesting young lady. Not only can she wheel a race car, but she can wrench a race car, too. She does a lot of work on her car, and we definitely want to get her back on and talk to her some more. She's got a big race coming up. Jason, you got to let me know when Schrader's going to be on. I had the pleasure of working with Kenny at Hendrick Motorsports, and he is one fantastic fellow. Not only is he a good driver, but he's just a good all-around person. When I call in, you can go ahead and warn Schrader. I'm going to talk about some of the Christmas parties I went to at his house. So you definitely want to tune in for that. And while I got a minute, let me give a shout-out to Miss Lee Reed, who does a ton of work behind the scenes, both for 110 Nation Sports and my show. She's also an administrator in my group, NASCAR and Other Racing. She does a ton of work there, too. She works hard for our radio shows and doesn't get enough credit for it. So, Miss Lee, I'll drink to you. Thanks for everything you do.
That's right. Jason, give us three names. Shaylee Bade, what was that name that we had on?
Shaylee Bade, she is a hell of a sprint car driver from out of Nebraska. And I've had her on the show, and I like having her on the show just because we can compare accents on the way we say things in Nebraska and in North Carolina.
All right, Jason, name three of the infamous interviews that you've had on the 110 Nation.
I think three interviews that I've done that stick out the most, I guess, would be Jennifer Jo Cobb and doing Bubba Wallace, just because those were kind of the biggest names that I've gotten to do. And I've gotten to do a lot of great athletes, but I think those two kind of stuck out. And then the third one is a local driver, and we've had him on both Racing with Big Sweats and my show. And this person, because they're a frequent guest on the show, and knowing that, and we all got a real feedback. There we go. I started having him on the show when he was 15 years old, and he's 18 now. He's been on the show for about 3 years. And when I had him on the first time, and I tell the story, we're just talking about, just while you guys were talking, I was talking about this. First time I had him on the show, I had 30 minutes worth of questions planned out and had this interview set up. And all his answers were one-worded answers. It was yes, no, one, two, five, whatever. It was all one-worded answers. And in 10 minutes, it was done. And so for the next 20 minutes, I am trying my hardest to pull anything out of the air to talk about. You fast-forward that 3 years to today, I can have him come on the show. I could have him on for the full 2 hours of the show and still have plenty to talk about. And I'm speaking of Dylan Martin. He's been on both of our shows. Just to see him develop into going from this teenage boy to being a young man, and just to see him mature and his knowledge of racing makes him, to me, to be a very special guest, because not only what he does on the track, but his involvement with the Shriners Hospital and every other charity stuff like that he's involved with. It just fascinates me to see somebody so involved and care so much about the community that he does what he does.
That's right. And Dylan's a good guy, and he's kind of become a personal piece of the 110 Nation Network.
His brother's funny as hell too.
I had a young lady, Rochelle Rudolph, on Monday. And as a matter of fact, she had messaged 110 Nation back in the spring. And Chris, you had responded. She wanted us to go like her Facebook page or whatever. And you had responded on the 110 Nation messenger. And so last week I messaged her and I was like, you want to come on the show? And she's like, sure. And we got to talking a little bit. It so happens Brandon's like her big brother, you know, big brother type person, and she knows the Martins really well. And I was talking about the same thing that, you know, I was talking, telling the story about Dylan, and then I was talking about Brandon just being funny as I don't know what, that I've actually had tears coming out of my eyes while doing the show, laughing so hard, having Brandon on the show.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. He is something else. Oh, hold on just a second. Ah, there we go. Overtime beer. Carry on.
Oh, man. So 718-664-9861. We're going to take calls until the quick coming. Call in real quick. Tell us about what your favorite memory was. 718-664-9861. Or just tell us about how much you like the show. If you weren't at the Southern Street Stop Nationals and you listened to the show tonight, call us in. 718-664-9861. We'll be down at Hattiesburg Speedway tomorrow night for the makeup Charles McLemore Memorial. It's been combined with the Curtis Burns Memorial. It's going to be an outlaw event and a modified event, along with weekly racing classes. A little bit of extra money, $1,500 for the modified and $1,000 for the outlaw. Great racing in store for this weekend down at Hattiesburg Speedway. Make sure you're down there. They run the Naismith Street Stocks, Great Lake Models. Pure Streets, Outlaw Streets, and, of course, the Modifieds. It's getting there toward the end of the season. People are going to be doing their big races. So make sure you go out and you support your local dirt tracks. And once again, guys, I always want to thank y'all for giving me the opportunity to come on here and run my raspy voice, talk about what I love. I love dirt track racing. I've been with 110 Nation. Jason, for how long now? When did y'all bring me on? 2 years ago?
God, it's been a while. It might be coming up on like 2 years. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. And I tell you what, we've grown together. We've loved together. And I tell you, this 110 Nation is going somewhere, guys. Jason puts his heart into it. He's got shows almost scheduled every week. These shows are re-syndicated on other internet programs. It's a lot of good things going on at 110 Nation, and you know, it's independent broadcasting. And when we say independent broadcaster, we tell you it's low budget, it's put together, but I tell you what, once you get all that stuff put in place, you get some great interviews, and you get people like Steve and Jason and Miss Lee and several other people that have helped us along the way, I guess myself included. You wind up with some really good shows and a lot of information off a little bit of internet radio.
And I want to throw this out there because I got a message from somebody. Mike Pericone does Hot Laughs with Staff on Friday night. He wanted to get into his three best guests as well, in case they're listening tonight. Tracy Clark, Paulie Domensky, and Ann Young were his three best interviews that he has had on his show. But you guys, make sure you guys check Friday night's 8 o'clock, Hot Laughs with Stats.
And he covers a lot of the northeastern end. If you didn't hear the name Paulie, you know that's a northern name right there. Paulie the Bambooty, you know. You know when you cross the Mason-Dixon line, in other words.
Yeah, when you start bumping into Paulie and Petey and all them, you know you're in above the Mason-Dixon line.
That's right. We want to thank Margaret Spielman. That's great to have him listening, too. Margaret Spielman, thank you for listening. Scott Suggs, we see you. Kelvin Hyatt. Okay, Damien's got his in. Billy Moyer, Zach Dome, and Jeff Leica. All right. That's awesome. I'm glad to have you guys listening in tonight, and Damien for sticking around there. I want to thank our guests once again that were on tonight, Michael Blade out of Tennessee, Chad Comer out of Texas, Ben Kitzmuth Keith out of Kosciuszko, Mississippi. It's been a great show, guys. We had Kenny Carroll listening in from Missouri. Guys, it's been a great show. If we don't have any more callers, I guess this is where we pop open the NyQuil and call it a day.
Yeah, I heard that. One more thing, you talking about great interviews in Northern Motorsports. I was very fortunate to have the late Mario Fiore on my show twice. Both times, no other guests, just sit for an hour or so and talk modified racing with Mario. And that, in case you've never heard of Mario Fiore, he was the guy that could bring a modified to the Northeast and beat Richie Evans. So that'll tell you how good his cars were. He was a great guy, and I truly miss him. R.I.P. Mario.
Richie Evans, a Hall of Famer, NASCAR Hall of Famer. So if you're beating a Hall of Famer, you know you're good.
Yep, and Mario was without a doubt one of the best in the Northeast. Well, guys, let's wrap this shindig up. In my opinion, it was a great show. I learned a lot. I enjoyed talking with our three guests and our call-ins. Just had a real good time, learned a lot, and that's what I try to do, and I hope you do too, here on Racing with Big Sweat. And don't forget, you want to tune in next week and listen to Cassie Gannis, to what she's got to say, and I guarantee you, you'll get an education on how to deal with car owners and sponsors. It's not all great. There's some pitfalls to it, and you need to be careful. So tune us in next week. I'll be here along with Mr. CJ Sports and Chris Yellow Caution Flag Creighton. And whoever else seems to call in, we'll talk to you. Thank you once again, Jimmy Haywood with Snafu Seasoning, one of the best grill rubs you'll ever find. Or check it out. Go to, excuse me, too many beers. Go to Snafu Seasoning, SNAFU. As some of my ex-wives would say, snafuseasoning.com. Check it out. All right, folks, stick a fork in my butt. I'm done. We'll talk at you next week. Thanks for tuning in. See ya.
Bye. See you next week.